All right, Wednesday afternoon. We are already halfway to the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. Again, the beginning of 2026. And we, once again, have a lot to talk about this afternoon. So what do we have to do to keep people in Louisiana? Louisiana is the number one nation in terms of population, the number one state in the nation in terms of population loss. That's not good, but a lot of people are leaving here. And the truth is, I don't blame them. Louisiana needs to do a better job for keeping people here. And we'll talk a little bit about that. The state that is the most popular in terms of new residents is the state of Oregon. So we'll get into that a little bit later. And, you know, if you want to add to the conversation, if you could leave Louisiana, would you? Would you get out of this state? And why do you think people want to leave Louisiana? There's one central point that I want to make that is, it's sort of an intangible, but I think it really is important. It's not one of the real tangible things that you look at, like, you know, job opportunities and affordability. Those are tangible things. But there's this one intangible thing that I really think is a reason why a lot of people look to leave Louisiana. And I'm not bashing the state. You know, I love the state. But we've got one big issue that I think is chasing a lot of young people away. And I don't know if there's anything we can do about it, but the first step in doing something about it is to define the problem. So we'll talk about that this afternoon. You have heard in our news, and she was on with Neil Norman the other day, Helena Moreno, our new mayor, who is about to be sworn in as the new mayor, is learning about how bad off our city is. And you know who this falls back on? LaToya Cantrell. That name is going to be a negative name in this city forever. Forever. It's not that she did everything wrong. She did some things right. But overall, she was a terrible mayor. And we're learning more about that as Helena Moreno started her transition team. So, again, a lot going on. It's the beginning of a new year. One of the things that people do at the beginning of a new year is they go on diets. And if you exercise at a particular gym, I'm sure you've noticed the last couple of days have been very crowded. But it's not going to take long for people to start to go, well, you know, that New Year's resolution, I mean, that was a nice idea at the time, but, you know, I'm just not going to keep up with it. I don't know, maybe it's a month, maybe it's 2 months, but, you know, people just make an exodus back to all of the workout areas and then they stop doing it. So I hope if you've made some New Year's resolutions, I hope you stick to them, because it's real easy to just drop your New Year's resolutions and not even worry about it anymore. But if you made a New Year's resolution, it's probably something that you really should take considerable interest in changing. It might be something about your life that you want to change. I have some personal New Year's resolutions that I have kept so far that now I start to slip now and then. And you know, you can do that. You know, you slip and you go, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm gonna change. So you don't have to be perfect, but you have to keep trying, at least beyond the first month. And New Year's resolutions are no good if you don't really try to keep them. We're going to talk about some of the trendiest diets for 2026, some of the things that may be popular in 2026. And I'm assuming that there will be more people who are going to be using the products where they you know, give themselves a shot and they instantly lose weight. Have you seen Amy Schumer recently? Wow. Have you seen Meghan Trainor? Man, these are two people who have just transitioned almost overnight. And I believe Meghan Trainor has even talked about doing Ozempic. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But for somebody who tries to exercise the extra weight away, you know, a lot of people, you know, look at people who take the shot and that's all they do. And they go, well, you know, that's kind of a cheap way of losing weight. But for a lot of people, it helps. And I hope people who get the jump start with something like Ozempic, I hope they continue to do other things to help keep the weight off and don't ultimately just depend on the shot to, you know, keep the weight off. All right. How cool would it be? Think about this. How cool would it be to go on vacation to Greenland and not have to have a passport? Well, if Greenland becomes a U.S. territory, as the president wants, then you and I can just like go on a vacation to Greenland and not need a passport. Wouldn't that be nice? I know. Not really. I mean, I don't know what you vacation. I don't know what the vacation in Greenland would include, other than, I don't know, maybe a chance to see a polar bear up in the northern part of Greenland. I don't know what you would do. I don't think there's a lot of industry there, but I could be mistaken. So we'll talk a little bit about the president's quest to turn Greenland into a U.S. territory. And it seems like the president is trying to really take over certain countries and has an interest in taking over certain countries and taking over Greenland, for example, as a territory, as a way of amassing this entire hemisphere, making this hemisphere part of the United States of America. And I haven't heard him say he no longer wants to make Canada the 51st state. I think he still wants that. But, I mean, the Canadian people don't want that. And Terrence and Philip, you know, they have been sort of leading the protesting in Canada against becoming part of the United States. So I don't think that's going to happen. But that was a goal. And then now we are apparently running Venezuela. But it's kind of confusing because the president says one thing. The Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, says something else, so we're not really sure. Then there's talk about Colombia and Cuba. And so, I'm a little uncomfortable with this mentality at this stage when it just doesn't seem to be necessary that the United States is going out and colonizing again. That we're going over and taking over countries, assuming that no country is as great as the United States. And you can make that argument. I can make the argument that this is the greatest country in the world. But there are other countries that are really great, too. And it seems that this idea that is apparently ego-driven, that the idea of expanding the territory of the United States seems ego-driven, and it suggests that, you know, nobody should be adhering to their own traditions and their own country. Everybody should be part of the United States. And everybody doesn't have to be part of the United States. Canadians are proud. They don't want to be part of the United States. I'm hearing that the people of Greenland, I'm sure there's some people who disagree with this, but it seems like most of the people in Greenland don't want to become part of the United States. Greenland is a territory of Denmark. Denmark is a NATO ally. Imagine if the United States attacks a territory of a NATO ally. What does that do to NATO? Yeah, I mean, it's really confusing. We'll talk a little bit about this, but this is the kind of stuff that, you know, in some ways it doesn't make sense, and it's really confusing, and Americans have a hard time trying to figure it out. Democrats, independents, and young voters are really PO'd at the president's move in Venezuela. And so as there seem to be more attempts to attract the younger voters, independents, and the Democrats who voted for the president in the last election, they seem to be moving away from the president. There are attempts to attract those voters back. Why? Well, I think it's pretty obvious that the president is going to try to run for president again in 2028. Now, is his stay in the White House going to reach a level of fatigue to where people are just tired of it and they don't want it anymore? I mean, I don't know. A lot can happen between now and 2028. This is a midterm election year. We'll see what happens this year. But, you know, it's obvious that in an attempt to gain control of these countries or to turn Greenland into a territory, by the time that happens, this president is not going to have that much time to enjoy it if he's out of office in 2028. So the desire to do these things seemed to be based on the idea that in his mind, he's going to be president again in 2028. So we'll see what happens. You know, yesterday was the first official day of the carnival season, and there were actual Mardi Gras parades. If you were in them, if you went to them last night, it was a great night for that. I hope you had a great time. I just want to remind you of something that is going to be going on between now and Mardi Gras, and that is the city of New Orleans is closing lanes on St. Charles ahead of Mardi Gras. Now, this is to keep people who go to parades safer. It's about public safety. So beginning on January the 5th, crews were out for the city installing barriers for public safety along the parade route on St. Charles. So the work began on Monday, and it is continuing. It's starting at St. Charles and Calliope, or Calliope, depending on how you pronounce that. And it goes to St. Charles and Napoleon. And they're installing concrete security barriers between the streetcar tracks and the curb in order to better protect the public during the parading season. Now, the left lane is going to be closed only in the areas where the crews are working. And once they finish in one area and move to the next area, they're going to reopen that lane. So I like the way this is being organized. They're not going to just block the lanes for an indefinite period of time while they get all the work done. They do one section, then they open it up, and then they do another section, then they open that part up. So just be aware of that if you travel on St. Charles. You know, I just got into the studio, just in time to do the show, because I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and it was a routine checkup. And one thing we don't control is how long it takes for the doctor to see us, right? I mean, you go to the doctor and you don't know. I mean, I made the appointment early enough to where I had plenty of time to get to the station and do some work. Well, as it turns out, everything is delayed, and I don't really blame the doctor because things happen. So everything is delayed, and I mean, I barely got here in time to do the show. I mean, I wasn't even here in time to do the crossover with Newell. I got here during the news at the top of the hour, just got in the studio to do the show. So I'm glad I made it on time. But there was this one woman while I was in the waiting room. There was this one woman, and, you know, I'm trying to describe her. She managed to get into a pair of faux leather pants that were way too small for her, but she managed to get in them. She is wearing sunglasses, and I'm telling you, this woman had an attitude. She was trying to start a fight. It was almost like I kind of got the impression, overhearing part of the conversation with the receptionist at the doctor's office, that she really didn't have an appointment, but she was demanding to see the doctor. And anytime they asked her a question, she said, "Well, that's my business." And the receptionist said, "Well, ma'am, we have to ask these questions." Anyway, I took time to tell the woman at the reception desk. The woman was still in the waiting room, so I kind of whispered to her. I said, "I just want you to know you did a really great job with that woman." And she knew exactly what I was talking about. I took time to compliment her on how she handled that. And it also reminds me of when I was on the last flight coming back from Portland the other day. There was a couple in front of me with three kids, and the kids were very well behaved on the flight. So at the end of the flight, when everybody's, you know, getting their luggage from the overhead compartments and everybody's departing the plane, I took a moment to compliment the family. I said, "You know, your kids were really good." And it occurs to me that, you know, we're so into negativity and criticizing people that maybe we don't take enough time to compliment people when something is good. And with child rearing or anything, the workplace, positive reinforcement is really a good thing. And so maybe we, as busy as we are, maybe we should take time to compliment people. Man, we're real happy to bitch about somebody. We're real happy to complain about somebody who's doing something wrong or something that irritates us. But do we really take time to compliment people? I mean, can you think of a time recently when you complimented somebody? You know, like I did on the flights, telling the family, "Hey, your kids were really well behaved." And that's not the first time I've done that. You know, I try to do that every time I see a family traveling and the kids are well behaved. And again, I think that's, you know, positive reinforcement. And in our society, we're so into being negative that complimenting people, I think, is cool. And then the receptionist, she will probably remember that all day. Because I'm telling you, this woman was trying to just pick a fight with the receptionist. And the receptionist just handled it perfectly. And I gave her credit for it and complimented her about doing that. So, I mean, can you think of a time recently when you complimented somebody and said something nice? Because we're so quick to criticize, do we take as much time to compliment people when they do something right or something nice? If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is back from his custodial work at the station yesterday, and he is in the studio just across from me. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well. Glad you made it.
Station, yeah, I barely made it. The station looks great. The custodial work you did yesterday here seemed to pay off, and everything looks nice.
Well, thank you. Anything but to touch a computer. You know, I'm happy to sweep or mop or scrape gum off the bottom of your desk or whatever it is we got to do around
here. It's nice. And the do-rag was nice on your head while you were doing that. I mean, that was kind of cool. Kind of a nice look.
I contain multitudes. Yeah.
Do you take time to compliment people if they do something nice in your presence?
Yeah, if I feel like it would be welcome. Often it's not. You know, just because you want to compliment somebody doesn't always mean that you should. You know, if you feel like, you know, maybe they don't need that. Sometimes they don't. You don't always say, like, to a strange woman, like, hey, you look beautiful.
No, I'm not talking I'm not talking about that. That can get to be a little sketchy. I'm talking about somebody that might act in a way or their behavior might be such that, you know, they did something the right way, and you simply compliment them on how they behave, like the receptionist, you know, fending off this woman who was just trying to pick a fight. And I just thought she did a great job handling the woman because, you know, she could have turned around and got very fiery with this woman. So I complimented her for the job that she did. And I'm sure she's going to remember that. And the people on the flight, their kids were well behaved. And I complimented the parents because that's a reflection of the parents. So, you know, I think we should compliment because, man, we are sure quick to criticize whenever we get the opportunity. All right, we're going to get to some of your texts. We'll get to your calls as well. We do have a lot to cover this afternoon. I want to talk about, I can't wait till tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is one of the college football playoff games. And then there's another one Friday night. And then a full weekend, wild card weekend, games on Saturday and Sunday, the wild card games in the NFL happening this weekend. So we're going to talk about all of that. And also some really big news in the NFL that just sent shockwaves across the league. The firing of John Harbaugh, the coach of the Baltimore Ravens. And there's a lot of talk coming out about the relationship that John Harbaugh had with Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, and that Lamar Jackson, like, there's word that he doesn't want to practice on Wednesdays, and he's given special permission not to practice. That's the word out there. I don't know if that has been confirmed. Lamar Jackson is an incredible talent, and he really is the face of the Baltimore Ravens. And John Harbaugh, I guess, was disposable. They haven't done that great the last couple of years. And a lot of people picked them to win the Super Bowl this year. Now, there were injuries, but, you know, as a team, they didn't play that well this year. It wasn't all the coach's fault. And Lamar Jackson, I mean, you know, there were times when he was great. There were times that he was just an average quarterback. But, you know, that was a really interesting thing. So, ultimately, seven teams are looking for head coaches. I think we have ours in Kellen Moore. All right, we've got a lot to talk about. I'm Scoot on the air. The Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And when we come back, we'll start to get to some of your texts. We'll get to your calls as well. All right, Wednesday afternoon, coming off the Christmas and New Year's holiday, it was a long week facing us, and we're already halfway through the week, and the weather's going to change. We'll get a little rain, and some cooler temperatures are coming up, so that's something to look forward to. Also, Pelicans are in action tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. If you get a chance to go, let's support the Pelicans. I'm Scoot on the air. We'll be right back, and remember, you're listening to WWL. You know, sometimes, you know, people just do the right thing in life, and it's little stuff, but they do the right thing. And I think that, you know, that we as members of society should pay a little more attention to the people who are doing it right, and give them positive reinforcement by saying, hey, you know what, you did a good job with that. Hey, that was a nice thing that you did. You know, let's say somebody picked up a piece of trash and threw it away. Why not compliment them? You know, I know that, you know, bitching and complaining and being really PO'd about stuff, I know that, you know, that really gets a lot of attention, and, you know, it riles people up, and yeah, I can't believe they did that, man. Let's bash them for that. You know, I understand that attitude. But, you know, there's something in positive reinforcement for people who do the right thing, and maybe we should take a little more time in society to compliment those people who do it right. Like the parents of the kids that were right in front of me on the flight back from Portland. The kids were well behaved, and at the end of the flight, I said, "Hey, your kids were really nicely behaved." And they said, "Hey, well, thanks." So he said, "Well, at least today they were." And then I was at the doctor's office a little bit earlier, and this woman was just trying to pick a fight. She was trying to pick a fight with the receptionist, and the receptionist didn't bite on the bait. And she just really handled the woman very well. So when I was finished and I walked through the area, the woman was trying to start the fight. She was still in the waiting room. But I did kind of whisper over to the receptionist and I said, yeah, you really did a good job with that woman. And she smiled and said, well, you know, thank you. Thank you very much. I remember a time when I was in line at the grocery store and some old woman was just giving this cashier hell. And I couldn't figure out what the problem was, but she was just cranky and just bitching to this cashier. And I mean, I did step in and say, hey, you know, this girl didn't do anything, but what are you doing, you know, screaming at her? And what are you doing yelling at her? That was a case of kind of stepping in and standing up for the person who was not doing anything wrong. But shouldn't we take a little more time to compliment people? If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And can you think of a time when you went out of your way to compliment somebody because they did it the right way? We're going to get to your text messages here in just a moment. Let's go to Algiers and Monica. You're on WWL. Good afternoon, Monica.
Hi, Stu. How are you, baby?
Good, baby.
Baby. So this is the way I live my life on a daily, is I foster animals, I rescue when I'm out and about getting my cancer treatments or grocery or post office, anything. I start off with a compliment, always. As soon as I walk up to the person, hey, how are you, sweetie? You know, oh, I love your earrings. Oh, your hair looks beautiful. That color looks great on you. Oh, you have beautiful eyes. Whatever it is, just a compliment. So then that way, when they come back at me with any kind of attitude, that's on them. And Now that I'm older, I know what misery loves company is all about.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let the bastards grind me down and take away my positive light. Because
no, good for you. Good
there's
for you.
So many people out there that are doing that. And it needs to stop.
Yeah, there are people who on a daily basis, they try to rob other people of their happiness. They don't know how to be happy. There are people that are just intrinsically negative, and they look for ways to bring people down. It's just the way life is. And, you know, it's like there are a lot of people who just don't know how to be happy, and they're not happy unless they're negative about something. And I know people like that.
Yeah, they have to kill someone else's kindness and happiness because they don't have it within themselves.
No, it's
so
true.
When I go to a restaurant or anywhere, and what I do is I go and I'm like, oh, can I talk to your manager, please? And automatically everybody's like, oh, yeah. And then the manager comes out and I'm like, I just want to tell you, you have an amazing staff, or you're this one over here rocked it out, or whatever.
Cool.
And that's how I do it, instead of, you know, complaining about everything like most people do. And I also don't go off of reviews because I'm old school. I'm not, you know, the energy that you bring into any kind of situation, if you're going out to dinner or going to a concert or going to this, the energy that you bring is the energy you're going to get back for the most part. I mean, of course, there's miserable people everywhere and they'll try to bring you down. But it's like, if you go into a place with a crappy attitude, then that's what you're going to get back. So bring in what you want, you know.
Yeah, so to some degree, that's
true. Do something kind every day.
But, you know, they're
I'm getting ready to drop off clothes for victims that had lost everything in a fire in Algiers. Just every day do something kind for someone else besides yourself, because you never know when something's going to affect you. Yeah. And most people just live their lives like, oh, it doesn't affect me, so whatever. No, the bees dying affect you. The, you know, animals in the street, it affects us all. So just everybody stop and help. I don't understand why that's so difficult. Just,
Monica, you know? I want to compliment you. I want to compliment you on just being an intrinsically good person. You know, you kind of cancel out people like me who are not good all the time. I try, but,
oh,
you know, I'm not always the nicest person. I have my moments. Monica.
We all do. But, you know, majority of us should try to be kinder. That's all.
Yeah, there were just a couple of times recently when I went out of my way to compliment people for doing it the right way. And I think it's a cool thing to do. Monica, I appreciate the call.
It is. You're right.
All right. We're going to get to your text messages when we come back. And if you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And look, I've been in this business long enough to know that negativity sells. You know, being negative, criticizing something, talking about how bad something is, that's what really gets the phones to ring. That's what really gets people to become engaged. But I don't want to do that just to appease those people who want to call in and be negative. And I think there are times when we should, even though it might not be popular on talk radio, I think there are times we should be positive. You know, if I talk about something negative about the city of New Orleans, the lines will light up a lot quicker than if I say anything positive about the city. If you say something negative about a police officer, you'll get more comments. I'll get more comments than if I say something positive about a police officer. And I guess that's human nature. But, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with being positive when it's warranted. You know, don't be obsequious and just, you know, be positive to be positive and just be overwhelmingly nice all the time. I'm not talking about that. But if you see somebody doing something the right way, doing the right thing, I don't think there's anything wrong with complimenting them. You had a comment, Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. On this day on the Scoot calendar in 1955, Bill Haley and the Comets, Rock Around the Clock, entered the UK chart for the first time. It peaked at number 17. Now, this is American rock and roll on the UK chart on this day in 1955. 7 months later, it was the first rock and roll song to ever top the US charts, and it actually would ultimately become number one later in the UK. So while this might be considered the first official rock and roll song to do well on the charts, this doesn't mean that white people like Bill Haley and the Comets invented rock and roll. I'm Scoot on the air, and we are coming back on WWL. You know, look, I know it's really cool to get on the radio and say, man, don't you hate when people do this? Don't you hate when people do that? Man, I love to criticize those people. I know that's cool. And we do that a lot. But I also think that there are times when we should go out of our way to compliment people. And I know that, you know, this is a topic that might not be a typically good radio talk show topic. But, you know, but it's something that we should talk about. And just because it doesn't generate the same number of calls as being negative would generate doesn't mean I'm not going to talk about it. And I just have had personal experience with this the last couple of days. On my flight back from Portland, there was a family with three kids in front of me, three kids and two parents. The kids were well behaved. At the end of the flight, I told the parents, I said, hey, your kids were really well behaved. And that's positive reinforcement. And, you know, I think they deserved it because, you know, not all kids on flights are well behaved. Then also, just a little while ago at the doctor's office, I was in the waiting room, and this woman who managed to stretch herself into some faux leather black pants, it looked like she was, you know, looked like she wanted to get a lot of attention. And sometimes people get attention through being negative. And this woman was very aggressive with the receptionist at the desk at the doctor's office. And the receptionist could not have handled it better. She diffused the situation. She handled it well. And she was asking the questions that were all asked. And this woman said, well, that's my business. Well, that's nobody's business. And it was like she was just trying to pick a fight. And it didn't work. because the receptionist did a really good job handling her. So when I was finished, I just, you know, went over to the receptionist and said, hey, you did a really good job with that woman. And she knew exactly what I was talking about. She smiled and said, thank you. So can you think of a time that you said something nice to somebody about something that they did right? Somebody that does something right or, you know, displays the right behavior. Do we ever compliment people? And, you know, maybe we should be a little better at giving positive reinforcement. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text message that says, thank you, Scoot, for mentioning complimenting people. I make a point to compliment people as genuinely as frequently as I can. It's amazing the positive impact it makes in a world full of negativity. I'm a small, middle-aged woman who worked in HR for 25 years, so not very intimidating. But positive feedback is generally well received and in such short supply.
See, and that's nice. And see, I get a compliment for talking about complimenting people. So, you know, that's nice. Hey, Scoot's doing the right thing. Maybe he's not getting as many calls as he would get if he was talking about negativity, but he's doing the right thing, so I'll compliment Scoot. So I got a compliment out of it.
Alyssa is listening today and says, Scoot, when I was nursing faculty, I found out that positive reinforcement was one of my best tools, especially when I was doing clinical classes in the hospital. And I had these newbies seeing patients for the first time. I always tried to find something in their performance that they did well and pointed out. I'm not trying to brag, but students signed up quickly to be in my clinical wow. classes and wanted to avoid the crabby old school instructors who were more harsh.
You know, I think we underestimate the power of being positive. The power of complimenting somebody on doing the right thing.
Here's a text that says, why do you always feel the need to point out that many rock and roll songs were not white people's origin? We will never get past racism, dwelling on the color of people's skin. Charlie Pride was one of my favorite country singers growing up in the 70s, and Lionel Richie is still my favorite concert. He sat and played for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything other than just setting the record straight, because the perception, this is not about racism. Well, I guess to some degree it is, but I'm not doing what you think I'm doing. When I point out that white people did not invent rock and roll, I'm addressing the issue, the historic issue, that white people are given credit for creating rock and roll because of people like Bill Haley and the Comets. They were white. But what they did with Rock Around the Clock, that was something that was built on what African-American artists had been doing, like Fats Domino, locally, Dave Bartholomew, and many other. Little Richard. There were people who were doing things that laid the foundation for rock and roll, and they never got credit for it. So what I'm trying to do is just give them credit for something that they established. I'm not trying to bash white people. I'm just trying to set the record straight because of the perception that, you know, white people invented rock and roll. All right. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Just as you go through your day today, I thought about something else. And she still works there. There is a cashier at one of the main grocery stores. And she is so good at what she does. She pays attention. She is just really good. She's focused on doing her job and so focused on it that one time recently I told her, I said, look, I just want to compliment you on the job that you're doing because you do a really great job. And she looked up at me and smiled like nobody had ever told her that before. And so why not reinforce her? You know, why not reinforce the positive behavior that people display? And here's this cashier dealing with one customer after another. And I, you know, took a moment to compliment her. All right. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1967, this was the number one song in the R&B charts. As we went into the new year of 1967, it's Aaron Neville. Tell It Like It Is. A classic. Hey, good afternoon. Glad you are with us. Turning out to be a really partly cloudy day. I mean, this morning about 9 o'clock, it was still somewhat foggy. I mean, from West End, I couldn't even see the skyline of downtown New Orleans, which I can usually see. And it was kind of cloudy and foggy, but it's turning out to be a nice partly cloudy afternoon. Hey, you've heard in the forecast a little rain on the way. Some of it might be a little heavy, which is okay with me. And then we've got a chance of cooler temperatures coming up. You heard in our news just now, and I think it was Joe Cardosi who had the report about Helena Moreno talking about how there are people in city government. And as her transition team looks at the city and what's going on, they can't figure out what these people do or why they're being paid. I wonder how many friends Cantrell gave positions to. We are just learning. You and I think we know how bad she was as a mayor. We're learning that she was even worse than we thought she was. And boy, for somebody with an ego as massive as hers, she's going to need to be in therapy. She's going to need to reconcile what she did as mayor and how the city is looking upon her and how history is going to record the name LaToya Cantrell. I mean, you know, you just what years from now, when I'm still on the air doing this show, we're going to be talking about how history is going to record LaToya Cantrell, and it ain't going to be pretty. I mean, just what a monumental mess. And I hope she is a wake-up call. And apparently she is, because Helena Moreno is going to be sworn in as mayor within days. And it just seems like that was a really, really good choice. You know, but we'll see. Helena Moreno's going to have to, she's going to have to live up to the image that she is presenting. I think she will. But there's a lot of pressure on her to do the right thing. And it just seems like at every turn, LaToya Cantrell did the wrong thing. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon, halfway to the weekend already. And you just heard in the news, and this has been in the news today, an ICE agent shot in and killed a woman, and the woman was using her car as a way of attacking the protesters. I don't know enough about this to comment right now. Maybe I'll have more to say on this tomorrow, or maybe I'll have more to say this in a video that I'm going to post on either Substack, Instagram, you know, the Scoot on the Air Instagram. And I hope you'll join me there. I know a lot of you are on Instagram. So join me on Scoot on the Air Instagram. I'm trying to post something every day, and I'll get to the point where I'm posting more than one thing a day. And you could comment. And I'm going to be really more active on Instagram than I have been. That's one of my New Year's resolutions. So, yeah, get active with me on Instagram. And I'm going to start doing some interviews with people that I'm going to be posting on Instagram. So if you haven't done it yet, join me. Scoot on the Air Instagram. I would love to have you there. And I really want to continue to de-emphasize Facebook and send more people to Instagram and Substack. Because, you know, Facebook is just filled with too many ignorant trolls. And I'm not saying that the people who disagree with me are ignorant, but I'm talking about the ignorant trolls, not the people who disagree with me. There are people who disagree with me. They're not all ignorant trolls. But man, some of them are just ignorant trolls. I mean, that's just the best way to put it. I posted a video on Substack yesterday, and if you haven't joined me yet, I would invite you to join me and become a subscriber. It's Scoot on the Air, Scoot on the Air Substack. If you haven't joined me there yet, download the Substack app and then just search Scoot on the Air and then become a subscriber, and you will see what I post, and feel free to comment on what I post. I did something yesterday, something we did talk about on the show yesterday, which was the anniversary, the fifth anniversary of the riot, the Capitol attack by Americans, U.S. Americans attacked the U.S. Capitol. And yesterday, January 6th, was the fifth anniversary of that. So upset with the truth, so upset with the way the media and the American people, most of them, see January 6th, the president and the White House set up a website dedicated to the January 6th Capitol riot, where they said the Democrats, quote, staged the real insurrection. Well, first of all, they have been talking since it happened that it wasn't an insurrection. So what, now suddenly it is an insurrection and the Democrats caused it? The people who were arrested, by their own admission, said they were inspired by Donald Trump. Now, he may not have actually told them during that talk to go to the Capitol, but a lot of them had the impression, because he did give the impression that he was going to walk with them to the Capitol. And I'll get to more on that in just a moment. But this website is dedicated to the non-truth, misinformation, that it was all Democrats that staged this insurrection. No, it was supporters of Donald Trump. Remember, this was the new year. The election was over. He lost to Joe Biden in the election 2020. And so the president did not want to leave office. He wanted to stay in, and it seems like he tried to stay in. But anyway, there's no indication that the Democrats caused this. As I said yesterday, this is not the work of all Trump supporters. It's the work of the right-wing radicals who are Trump supporters who did this. There are a hell of a lot of Trump supporters, a hell of a lot of Americans who voted for Donald Trump, who did not agree with the riots, and they did not participate in the riots. So I'm talking about this right-wing radical faction of the Republican Party that was responsible. And to set up a website to try to misdirect the truth into this blatant lie that the Democrats staged the insurrection is just, you know, another example of the problem that we have in this country. Yesterday on Capitol Hill, testifying was Pamela Hemphill. Pamela Hemphill was part of the riot. She's a Republican, a Trump supporter, who went from Idaho to Washington, D.C. There are a lot of right-wing radicals who live in Idaho. It's just one of those parts of the country that has attracted right-wing radical MAGA supporters. Anyway, she testified yesterday on Capitol Hill, apologizing to the Capitol Police, saying she was sorry and apologizing. She says, "Once I got away from the MAGA cult and started educating myself about January the 6th, I knew what I did wrong. I pleaded guilty to my crimes because I did the crime." She said, "When Donald Trump pardoned us, I rejected the pardon. Accepting that pardon would be lying about what happened on January 6th. I am guilty. I own that guilt." So I guess she served her time. She rejected the pardon, and she was testifying yesterday. She said she was scared because Trump and the Republicans were telling her that Democrats were trying to turn this into a communist country and that the radical left wanted to get rid of our Constitution. Nobody has shown less respect for the Constitution than the current president and his hardcore supporters. But this woman admits that she was scared. And so she participated in the riots, and I respect her for not accepting the pardon. I did a video about this. It's posted on Scoot on the Air Substack if you want to check that out. All right, so Louisiana leads the nation in something that is not good. You know, if it's something that's bad, you know, we often lead the nation. If it's something that is good, we, are at the bottom of the list. But we lead the nation in population loss, according to census statistics. For the second year in a row, the state of Louisiana ranks as the number one state for losing population. Why are people leaving Louisiana? The state was number one in outgoing migration in 2024, and it appears that that's the same thing that happened in 2025. It's about economic growth. It's about affordability. It's about job opportunities. But the census data also shows that people don't want to go too far from home. Two of the states that had a lot of people from Louisiana move to are neighboring states, one to the north, Arkansas, and one to the west, Texas. These are states that attracted a lot of Louisiana residents. So I realize that job growth that opportunities are big reasons why people leave a state. I understand that affordability is another reason people leave a state. And, you know, our insurance rates, the cost of housing, the cost of apartments in the New Orleans area are astronomical. So this is not the most affordable place to live. But I think there's another reason why people are leaving Louisiana. It's the Louisiana legislature. We have an archaic legislature. We have a legislature that is so backwards that many of the things that our legislature does send a message that Louisiana is a backward state. You're a young American and you're growing up in Louisiana and you have a chance to get out of here. I'm telling you, there are people who want to get out of here. Now, I'm not bashing Louisiana. I love this state. But I don't love the legislature. I don't love the mentality of our state collectively. As a whole, I don't love the mentality of this state. I think, you know, I think we're a stupid state. And we do stupid things. And we're so backwards when it comes to many things. And much of this is manifested through the Louisiana legislature. You know, we litter. And our Lieutenant Governor, Billy Nungesser, has this big campaign about cleaning up Louisiana. We should not litter the way we litter. It's us. It's not people coming from other states and littering here. It's us. We litter the state. And littering is even worse in the New Orleans area than it is around the state. But New Orleans is part of Louisiana. So there is a mentality here of being backwards. And as long as that's in place, young people are going to look for reasons to get the hell out of here. And do you blame them? So if you're in Louisiana, if you had a chance to leave, would you leave? Are you here purely by choice? This is a beautiful state. The cypress trees, the moss dripping from the limbs of the oak trees in City Park, the waterways, the lagoons, there's a lot of beauty here. And man, look, I've lived in Oregon. I've lived in Portland where Mount Hood, Mount St. Helens, snow-capped mountains are in view of downtown Portland. I've lived in Seattle where Mount Rainier was in the background and they're just the Olympic Mountains are on the other side. I lived in Miami. I've lived in beautiful places. But I can tell you there's a lot of natural beauty here in Louisiana too. If you like fishing and hunting, this is a wonderful state. I'm not into either of those things. But if you're into fishing and hunting, man, this is a great state. But the mentality here, I think, is chasing a lot of people away. And if people have a chance to get away from here, I think they jump on that opportunity. So is there anything we can do to keep people in Louisiana? And are you here because you want to be here? I mean, I hope you are. I do hope you love the state. But if you had a chance to leave, would you leave Louisiana? And why do you think so many people are leaving Louisiana? We are number one in terms of population loss for the second year in a row. I mean, that's embarrassing. And, you know, the opinion, the attitude and the opinions of our governor, Jeff Landry, who, in my opinion, is a right-wing radical Cajun. Not all Cajuns are right-wing radicals, but I believe Governor Landry is. This is chasing people away. This kind of mentality, this kind of, you know, we're going to force you to believe what we believe. We're going to force our way of life on you. That's what they try to do. That's why people are leaving Louisiana. Governor Landry and the legislature. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. Also, I wrote a blog yesterday about something that I did. I took a little trip. I went out on the street. It was Scoot on the street in search of the smell of marijuana. And the blog is about people not coming to the city because of the smell of pot. That blog is posted on our website, WWL.com. Also, the Scoot on the Air Facebook page where you can comment on it. And we'll be right back. And remember, you're listening to WWL. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1972, David Bowie released the song Changes from his fourth studio album, Hunky Dory. This was considered among his best works. And even today, it stands off. David Bowie was indeed a musical genius. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Let's take a quick look at Scoot's news briefs. So a 37-year-old U.S. citizen was shot and killed by an ICE agent in Minneapolis this morning.
A federal agent shot and killed a Minneapolis motorist when she allegedly tried to run over law enforcement officers during an immigration crackdown, prompting a large group of protesters to vent their anger. During a news conference in Texas, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem placed the blame on the woman who was shot.
It was an act of domestic terrorism. What happened was our ICE officers were out in an enforcement action. They got stuck in the snow because of the adverse weather that is in Minneapolis. They were attempting to push out their vehicle, and a woman attacked them and those surrounding them and attempted to run them over and ram them with her vehicle.
In Minneapolis, from behind police tape, protesters shouted,
"Shame! Shame!"
On social media, the city's mayor, Jacob Fry, demanded that federal agents leave the city, saying that they are causing chaos. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Speaking with reporters, Secretary of State Marco Rubio says President Trump's desire to acquire Greenland is not new.
That's always been the president's intent from the very beginning. He said it very early on. I mean, this is not new. He talked about it in his first term, and he's not the first U.S. president that has examined or looked at how could we acquire Greenland. There's an interest there. But so I just reminded them of the fact that not only did Truman want to do it, but President Trump's been talking about this since his first term.
But it doesn't make it right. And then when the president says he's not going to rule out military force to take over Greenland, I mean, that might just be a lot of bravado BS. You know, he might not mean it. He doesn't mean everything that he says. But I mean, it doesn't sound good to the world. Yeah, we'll use our military to go in and take Greenland. Can you imagine how Americans are going to feel if American soldiers die in the process of trying to take Greenland? You know, we don't just use our military to feed egos. We don't just use our military to do whatever we want to do. We use our military when we have to use our military, not to acquire Greenland. Of course, that's my opinion. Asked if military action against Greenland was off the table, Rubio, of course, dodged the question and said he didn't want to talk about it. You're Secretary of State, and you don't want to talk about whether or not the president said he might want to use military force to take Greenland?
I'm not here to talk about Denmark or military intervention. I'll be meeting with them next week. We'll have those conversations with them then. But I'm not having anything further to add to that today.
Let me tell you something. If anybody knows if Donald Trump has polyps, it's Marco Rubio. European policy analyst Maria Marischut says that Denmark's prime minister was correct to say that the U.S. takeover of Greenland would mean an end to NATO.
The Nordics do not lightly make statements like this, but it is Trump whose, you know, very bombastic language bordering on direct threats and intimidation is threatening de facto another ally.
All right, so what exactly is NATO?
NATO is an alliance of democratic nations in Europe and North America that have agreed to support each other through collective defense. Essentially, there is a signed piece of paper that requires all countries to defend each other as a group. And why is that important? Basically, there is one NATO member, the USA, that is large enough to defend itself on its own. However, most of the other members are not big enough to defend themselves alone against a big threat. So the alliance helps small countries feel largely protected.
So what happens if we try to take Greenland by force, which is a territory of Denmark, which is one of the nations that's part of NATO, which is the North American Treaty Organization? Yeah. A lot of exciting things to look forward to. The Trump administration has seized two oil tankers linked to Venezuela and is selectively removing sanctions to enable sales.
The U.S. has seized two oil tankers linked to Venezuela in the North Atlantic and the Caribbean. The U.S. European Command says in a social media post that it seized a merchant vessel for violations of U.S. sanctions. The vessel, which according to records is flagged to Russia, had been pursued by the U.S. since last month after it tried to evade a U.S. blockade on sanctioned oil vessels around Venezuela. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem says U.S. forces also took control of a tanker in the Caribbean. She says both ships were either last docked in Venezuela or were headed there. Officials say the Russian-flagged vessel, renamed from the Bella One to the Marinera, was sanctioned by the U.S. in 2024 for allegedly smuggling cargo for a company linked to Lebanese militant group Hezbollah, which is backed by Iran. The U.S. Coast Guard tried to board the vessel in December, but were refused. Donna Porter, Washington.
The sprawling fraud cases in Minnesota have inspired the administration to go in guns blazing.
The Department of Homeland Security says it's launched the largest immigration enforcement operation it's ever carried out in Minnesota. Sources tell AP some 2,000 federal agents and officers are expected to be deployed in the Minneapolis area. The move began over the weekend, and federal authorities say it targets alleged fraud involving Somali residents. DHS says agents arrested 150 people Monday. Governor Tim Walz decried the operation as a war being waged against Minnesota, noting there's been no coordination with the state. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Yeah, I wonder how much better your life is now that these people are out of the country, or that they've been detained at least. I mean, did it change your life at all? Anyway, that's it for a look at Scoots News Briefs. So we're talking about the state of Louisiana being number one in a bad category. We're number one in terms of population loss. Why are so many people leaving Louisiana? And if you're here, are you here because you want to be here? Or are you here because you really don't have an option right now? And if you had an option, you would leave Louisiana. I really think the mentality of our governor, the mentality of our legislature are chasing a lot of young people out of our state. I can't help but believe that that's true. You know, you're a young person, you've got a bright future, and you think about how backwards our state is. You know, some people are concerned about the loss, the possibility of the loss of abortion rights. And, you know, we just don't have the, we don't have the job growth here that they have in other states. And Arkansas and Texas, two neighboring states, are states that are attracting a lot of people from Louisiana. We got to figure out a way to attract people here. We also have to figure out a way to keep people here. So what is the number one state when it comes to attracting new people? It's the state of Oregon. Oregon offers a lot of high-paying, high-tech jobs and also healthcare jobs, just major, the Oregon Health Health Service there is just so huge. Hospitals so huge in Portland and around Oregon that they're attracting a lot of those people. South Carolina is number three, and that's becoming more of a manufacturing state. West Virginia is number two, Delaware three, Minnesota five, Idaho number six, North Carolina seven, Arkansas eight, Alabama nine, and Nevada number 10. Why can Alabama do such a good job of attracting jobs and we can't in Louisiana? It's because we're incompetent. And I'm being honest about it. It's because we focus on the wrong things. And that whole port of Mobile, for the size of Mobile and the businesses that are related to the port of Mobile, they are kicking ass over in Alabama, and I have a feeling that that's driving a lot of business. I think there's probably also a lot of high-tech jobs in Huntsville in the northern part of the state, but you know, for Alabama to be number nine, and we are last on the list of states attracting population, or we're number one when it comes to population loss, I just think that's embarrassing. So why do you think so many people are leaving the state? We're going to come back with your comments, and the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. All right, so Wednesday afternoon, we are already close to the weekend. Good news. Hey, this is the birthday of Paul Revere, and the Raiders. Mark Lindsay was the main lead singer, but Paul Revere was the organ player, and he was the main guy behind the band. He would be 89 years old today, but he passed away back in 2014. I had just interviewed him on the air, and a couple of weeks later, I was in Hawaii, and he happened to be staying at the same hotel I was staying in Hawaii. And we were both hanging around the pool, so I went over and had a conversation with him. So that was it was fun. I mean, what are the chances that I just talked to Paul Revere in a radio interview, and then he's staying at the same hotel, hanging around the pool in Hawaii? Sometimes strange things happen. He was a fun guy, and he's described by many as the madman of rock because he was a little crazy. I'm Scoot on the Air. I'm glad you are with us, and remember, you're listening to WWL. Hey, I hope you come close to living the American dream in this new year of 2026, and I think it all starts with having a very positive attitude about life. I'm Scoot on the Air. Wednesday, glad you're with us. Louisiana, number one in the nation when it comes to population loss. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Homa. And Ben, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Ben.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Hi.
Hey, Ben.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you. I'm going to get to the subject, but just to let you know, I was one of the 97% who voted unpatriotic yesterday.
Oh, what? Okay, like yesterday we talked about. I asked the question. It was an instant text off. Was January 6th a patriotic event or an unpatriotic event? 97% of our audience said it was unpatriotic. Only 3% said it was patriotic. And you were part of the
yes, sir.
Which one? You were part of the 3%.
I don't know, the 97%.
I was really amazed because I thought there would be so many right wingers in our audience, and I certainly welcome right wingers to listen to our show, and many do. I thought it was going to almost be the other way around, that many people who were going to respond to that would say it was a patriotic event, but I was thrilled that 97% said it was unpatriotic, which I agree with.
What I want to share is you were speaking about the woman who refused the pardon,
yeah.
which had to be a gut-wrenching, difficult decision.
Oh, yeah.
The average person probably would not have made that decision. There were about 1,500 arrests, plus or minus. So she was the only one, happened to be a woman, but the only person, regardless of gender, who decided not to accept the pardon. What I wanted to say is, because I was reading something about who represents the true humanity or a true human being.
Mm-hmm.
And two parts, it's someone who exhibits a good conscience and reasoning abilities. I think she's one of the few you can call true human being because she did not defy her conscience and decided to accept the penalty and the punishment, which is, I think I applaud her for that, but she probably got some hate mail, so to speak, or bad mail about what her decision. So I wonder if the other 1,499 are all without a good conscience.
Yeah, or they don't care. Yeah, her name is Pamela Hemphill, and she testified yesterday, and she said that she refused the president's pardon because she was guilty of committing the crime on January 6th, and she served her term. And I would have to have a long conversation with my conscience because I'd want to get the hell out of jail.
Right, that would be a tough thing. I'm not sure what I would do, but she is a rarity, and hopefully there's more people out there that are like that. But I just wanted to call about that, and then, that's all I want.
Well, Ben, I appreciate the call, man. Glad to have you listening. I appreciate you being part of the show. All right, let's go to Lakeview. Rich, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Rich.
Scoot, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Enjoy your show when I get to listen, man.
Thanks.
I agree with you about Portland. I'm there often visiting in-laws. And,
it's a beautiful city. It's really beautiful.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, there are a lot of cool things about New Orleans, the city we live in.
Yeah, there
are. I'm not from here. I've been here for 12 years. My daughter's grown up here. This is her hometown. And, we've kind of adopted it as ours. But, man, I got to tell you, I'm going to help you a little bit with why everybody's leaving. I think city government dysfunction plays a big part. I mean, our police force is a tragedy. I don't care what the new chief says. Our budget, I mean, the city council wants to blame everything on the mayor. That's convenient. However, they approved the budget. You know, and approving a budget that had $47,000 in overtime when the year before we spent $40 million, I'm sorry, man. They're part of the problem.
Well, maybe so, Rich, but I mean, could it be that I don't need to go out of my way to defend the city council, but could it be that, you know, they didn't know everything, that they didn't have all of the information? Because it seems Cantrell hid a lot from the council.
There's no doubt about that. But I'm going to give you my full list here.
Okay.
So the city government dysfunction, sewage and water board is part of that. We all know those issues. But here's a big one. Insurance rates in this state and in this city. Auto insurance particularly. But I got to bring up one thing that never gets mentioned. And it's perplexing to me. And you tell me, have you ever seen a personal injury attorney ad when you go to Portland?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of where I saw them. No, I don't think they have them in Portland.
Yeah,
but no, they don't have them. They don't have them in Portland. But I've seen them elsewhere. I'm trying to think about. I guess it was Florida this summer where I saw them.
Yeah.
But you know what people need to pay attention to, Rich, is when you see somebody smiling and saying, so-and-so got me $800,000.
Yes.
That's not the person that got the $800,000. That's that's an actor portrayal of the person who might be in a wheelchair for the rest of their damn life. They make it seem like all these people are totally healthy and they're going to be healthy forever and there's nothing seriously wrong with them and they just suddenly got $800,000 because they called this particular lawyer. You got to pay attention to that stuff because those are actors and those are not the people, because the people who get that much money don't look like that, I promise you.
No, I'm with you. But not to go off on a tangent.
Yeah.
When our state insurance commissioner says we have the highest claims per claim, the highest amounts in the whole country, and then says we got to get to the bottom of that, we got to figure it out. Like, come on, man, seriously, you don't know what that is? I mean, look every day on TV, there's a personal injury ad. The New Orleans Saints. Tell me another NFL team that has an official personal injury attorney law firm.
Well, the other thing
is part of the puzzle.
Yeah, the other thing, Rich, is they make it, some of these attorneys make it seem like the best thing that could happen to you today is that you get in a serious accident. And believe me, the people that get that much money, they don't look like that. I really have to get to a break. Rich, can you give me one more quick one?
No, the crime here. USA Today article 2 weeks ago, New Orleans, the most dangerous city in America.
Yeah, well, you know, crime is, it's better. It's still there, but, you know, there's still crime here. I get all that. Rich, I really appreciate the call and the comments. We're talking about why Louisiana leads the nation in terms of population loss. Why are people leaving here? All right, I'm Scoot on the air. We're going to come back with more of your comments here on WWL. All right, look, Wednesday already, man. We're like, you know, this was the first week after the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, and first full week, and we're already halfway through. We've got to spend some time talking about the football games tomorrow and this weekend, and that's coming up next hour. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, 5 years ago today, on this day in 2020, great drummer of a great cerebral rock band, Rush, drummer Neil Peart passed away on this day in 2020. He was 67 years old. He had brain cancer. Yeah, they were one of the more cerebral rock bands in existence. All right, we'll have a lot to talk about in the next hour. We'll talk a little bit about football, which kicks off again tomorrow. And they're always trendy diets at the beginning of a new year. And a lot of people always talk about losing weight at the beginning of a new year. We'll talk about some of the trendy things for 2026, but also talk about what you have stopped eating. And we'll be right back. Do you take time to compliment somebody, to just say something nice about somebody's behavior or their kids or, you know, how they handled a situation? I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. We talked about this in the first hour. I got to the studio just in time to do the show. I mean, I wasn't even here to have the brief conversation with Newell before the news. I got here actually during the news because a doctor's appointment today went a lot longer than I thought. It was, you know, just a routine exam appointment, but it just went long. And that's something, you know, we don't control how long the doctor takes to do what he or she is going to do. So no complaints there. But as I was sitting in the waiting room, there was this woman who managed to fit into a pair of faux leather black pants that were at least two sizes too small, and she was a little on the plus size. Anyway, this woman, it just it it seemed like she was just trying to start a fight. And when the receptionist would ask just certain questions, she'd say, well, that's none of your business. That's my private business. And it was like she was trying to start a fight. Well, this receptionist just handled it so beautifully. Yeah, I couldn't hear everything, but overhearing the conversation, just the way she handled it, she totally diffused the situation. And so when I came out, that woman was still in the waiting room. So I kind of whispered to the receptionist and I said, hey, you really handled that woman well. And she knew exactly what I was talking about. She knew exactly the woman I was talking about. And she looked up and smiled and said, thank you very much. And I'm sure she's going to remember that somebody complimented her on how she handled a situation. Because so often, you know, you might do really good things at work or good things in life and you think nobody's noticing. And there's two kinds of reinforcement. There's positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. And as humans, we're so prone to give negative reinforcement that maybe we should be a little more cognizant of offering positive reinforcement to people. And somebody does something nice or something good happens. And so you compliment somebody like I did with that receptionist. The way she handled this woman, I thought was really good. And I complimented her on that. And then I mentioned flying back from Portland. There was a family, two parents and kids, three kids. And the kids were well behaved on the flight. At the end of the flight, I told the parents, I said, hey, your kids behaved, really well. And they said, oh, thank you. Well, at least today they did, was their comment. But, you know, when people do the right thing, you know, we're so quick to bitch about people and complain about things that maybe we should spend more time complimenting people when they do the right thing. Because, you know, sometimes like this receptionist boss, that person doesn't know how this woman handled it, but I gave her credit for how she handled this woman in the doctor's office. So, you know, look for ways to say nice things. So we talked about that in the beginning of the show. And last hour, we were talking about Louisiana being number one in terms of population loss. And I think a lot of that has to do with the mentality of our governor, the mentality of the legislature, and a lot of young people, if they have the opportunity, they're gonna go to school here and then get the hell out of here. Because they don't like that. They don't like that mentality. If you love fishing and hunting, man, this is a great state for you. But there's not as much job growth here as there is elsewhere. And there are other cities and other states that are picking up population while we continue to lose population. And we got to figure out a way to hold people here and also figure out a way to keep people from moving away. And then I also mentioned something that I did a video on the Scoot on the Air Substack account yesterday after the show. It's still there if you want to view it and comment on it. It is about the administration and the White House creating a website that is built on lies concerning January 6th. It's built on the lie that, well, they said it wasn't an insurrection, but now they're saying that the insurrection 5 years ago, January 6th, was actually perpetrated by Democrats, that they actually set it up. And we know that's not true. We know that's not true by the admission of those people who were caught and arrested, by the admission of those people who were involved in that. They were Trump supporters, and they felt like they were acting on Trump's behalf. So anyway, to create a website based on total falsehoods, I guess is a little too typical, but it's worthy of mentioning. And then there continues to be this conversation about taking control of Greenland, even if it requires military action. It seems like we have control of Venezuela. There's talk about getting control of Colombia. There's talk about Cuba. And making Canada the 51st state. And all of this stuff to me seems like it's ego-driven. We brought up some of the new things about some of the new information released from the Epstein files, and the president's name is mentioned a lot more often. The president was on Jeffrey Epstein's private jets more often than was originally reported. And so since they're not saying anything and since they're redacting so much, we can't help but wonder, what was Donald Trump doing on the plane? I mean, what was he actually doing on the plane? Where were they actually going? So, you know, when there are more questions than answers, and when the simple solution to prove you're innocent is to totally release the files with a lot of the stuff not redacted, I mean, obviously you protect the survivors of that Jeffrey Epstein lifestyle, but other than that, you let the information out there. If that proves you're innocent, then release the information. So I guess what's been released and what's in the Epstein files does not prove that the president is totally innocent. That's the only conclusion I can come to. All right, look, there's some great college football starts tomorrow night. There's a big game tomorrow night, big game Friday night, and the national championship, the college football national championship, is Monday, January the 19th. So from the results of the weekend, the Fiesta Bowl is tomorrow night. Number 10, Miami. And Miami beat number two Ohio State over the weekend. Miami won 24-14, beating Ohio. I love that Ohio State lost. I love it. So number 10 Miami takes on number 6 Ole Miss. And Ole Miss beat number 3 ranked Georgia 39-34. An incredible win by Ole Miss. So that game, the Fiesta Bowl, number 10 Miami, number 6 Ole Miss, is tomorrow night. Then Friday night, it's the Peach Bowl with number 1 Indiana and number 5 Oregon. Man, what a game that is going to be. We'll talk more about that on the show tomorrow afternoon. And it's a wild card weekend this weekend. Saturday at 3:30, the LA Rams take on the Carolina Panthers. At 7 o'clock, the Green Bay Packers, Saturday night, the Green Bay Packers take on the Chicago Bears. Sunday at noon, the Bills and the Jags in Jacksonville. Sunday afternoon at 3:30, the 49ers and the Eagles. Sunday night, 7 o'clock, the LA Chargers and the New England Patriots. And at 7:15 Monday night, the Houston Texans and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we'll talk more about all of that on a Friday afternoon. But, I mean, some great, great games are set up. And, by the way, I really like what Mickey Loomis is saying about building a team around Tyler Shuck. This is what you do. You know, you just don't bring in players. You build a team. And if you've got a star player, you bring in players that complement the star player, and you build a team around that player. And when it's the quarterback, and it usually is the quarterback, for example, you know, we're hearing a lot of talk about the firing of John Harbaugh and the Ravens. And apparently there was some bad blood between Harbaugh and starting quarterback Lamar Jackson. And there are a lot of conversations going on about Lamar Jackson not wanting to practice on Wednesdays. So here's a player given preferential treatment. I don't know if that's the best thing to do, but Lamar Jackson is like the face of the team. Lamar Jackson's contract next year, I guess this season, is going to be for $74.5 million. That is a quarter of the team's entire cap. So they're not going to be a winning team if a quarter of the salary cap is going to one player. So he's in the power position of saying that it's going to be the way he wants it to be, and they're going to get the coach that he wants because they're going to need to renegotiate his contract. So we'll see how all of that that works out. The guy's incredibly talented. I mean, he brought the team down in the game against the Steelers this past weekend. He brought the team down to win the game, and the field goal kicker missed it. Went wide to the right. And we talked this week about these field goal kickers. It just seems like so many of them absolutely choke when it's a field goal or an extra point they have to make. And then, you know, it started when the Steelers, a field goal kicker, a place kicker, missed the extra point. And that made it a two-point game instead of a three-point game. And then, I mean, unbelievably, I mean, it wasn't a total chip shot. It was a 44-yard field goal. But, I mean, that's close enough for a field goal kicker to make it. And this guy choked. And the Ravens lost because he missed the field goal. So I like the idea of building a team around Tyler Shuck. And you also bring in players that fit the culture and the personality of the team and the personality of the quarterback and the personality and the culture created by a new coach, Kellen Moore. So I like that talk, and I'm very, very positive about the Saints coming up next year. Can't wait for that to happen. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Bill in Metairie. Bill, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how are you?
Good, Bill. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, the question about people leaving Louisiana is one that's really been going on since the oil bust in the mid-'80s. But it continues to accelerate. And I'm a lifelong New Orleanian. I lived away for about 5 years, the late 80s, early 90s. But I've been here since like 93 or 94. And my wife, we're reaching Social Security age. And by the end of this year, we'll both be getting Social Security checks. And we have a child that lives in Atlanta with a grandchild. And he has a $250,000 house, and he pays $1,500 a year in homeowners. His car insurance is half as cheap. At age 62 and a half in his parish or county, you don't have to pay school taxes anymore, which would basically wipe out my tax bill. Infrastructure is better. Medical care is basically about the same. And for lack of a better word, I could add, or the expenses that I'll be saving will add a third Social Security check to my income.
Wow.
In addition, I just don't want to run from hurricanes anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I understand.
It's a crazy number.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I do get that. You know, hurricanes, that's just one of those natural problems that Louisiana will always have to be concerned with. And I understand that, you know, you get through a year and you let out a sigh of relief when there wasn't a hurricane. But, you know, as soon as spring and June comes around, you know, you got to worry about it again. And it's a concern every single year. And once in a while it hits. So I get that. So when you have a chance, you're going to be out of here.
We are thinking no earlier than October of this year, just the way things work in our job situation, no later than the next October. So between 9 and 20 months. And here's the other thing. With the hurricanes, you know, you got the $2,000 deductible until they name the storm. My last hurricane came through. My deductible was $25,000. $27,000 in damage. I got $2,000 from State Farm.
Wow.
You know, that it's just a reality.
Yeah.
And I don't want to run from hurricanes at 70, you know.
Look, I totally get that, Bill, and you know, I wish you the best, and there are legitimate reasons like that that people want to leave Louisiana, and it does have to do with expenses here, but it also has to do with just that natural threat of hurricanes, and I get it. And then there are those people who are resilient, and I'm not saying you're not resilient, but when it comes to hurricanes, like, bring it on, you know, we're okay with that. But not everybody's okay with it. I know people who moved after Katrina, and they don't want to come back.
Well, and here's the one thing I will add. Because of the way the world is, and it is today, that's a small world, you know, I can read NOLA online instantly, and I can be in New Orleans in 2 or 3 hours with a place to stay. It's not that hard.
Right. You can also download the Odyssey app, which is free, and listen to our show and WWL every day.
And I'm sure that I probably will.
I hope you do.
You know,
I hope you do. All right, Bill.
Where we are.
Yeah,
so.
I know. I get it. But, I do think for a lot of young people, with those things not being factors, some of the things that you mentioned about reaching Social Security age, and if you and your wife are getting a decent Social Security check, man, you can live on that. There are some expenses here that people don't have elsewhere. There are some expenses in New Orleans and in Louisiana that you don't have elsewhere. And auto insurance is one of the problems. And I have no problem with people advertising, but when there are people that make it seem like the best thing that can happen to you is to get into a bad accident, you know, people shouldn't be hoping they get into an accident to get a big paycheck, because I'm going to remind you that a lot of those ads that you see on TV with people smiling, I got $800,000. Those are actors. Those are not the people that got the money. And the people that got the money don't look like that. Some of them might be in wheelchairs for the rest of their lives. some of them might have like internal problems that are going to exist the rest of their lives as a result of the accident. Would you trade that for $800,000? I mean, I guess some people might, but, you know, when you get that much money, we're talking about a really serious, serious car accident. And those are not the people that got the money. Sure, there sometimes there are the actual clients who were in the accident, but, you know, you don't know everything about them. You just know that they got the money. But if you get a lot of money, I guarantee you there's something wrong with you. There was a really big problem because of the accident as a result of that. And you know, I'm not doing anything to bash the advertisers. What I'm doing is just simply bringing out the idea that, you know, you and I need to realize that, you know, the people who get that big money, they don't look like those people on TV. And it's bad to be in a bad accident. And I mean, what if, you know, what if somebody was killed in the accident and you got $800,000? I mean, you might feel guilt for the rest of your life because, you know, you lived and somebody else died. So, you know, it's not a panacea. It's not paradise when you get into a car accident. And that's the only thing that I want to bring out. I don't, it's fine if everybody advertises, but, you know, consumers just need to know the reality of that. And it does say in very small print that these are actors, that they're actors portraying the people who actually got the money. So anyway, I think it's just fair to point that out, but everybody's welcome to advertise. All right, so I wrote a blog yesterday about the conversation about people not coming to New Orleans because of the smell of marijuana. And I fail to accept that as a real excuse for not coming to the city, because the smell of marijuana, it just seems like this is something that is spread around as a good reason to tell people why you don't come to New Orleans, but it's not that big a deal. And it may be from people who do not want marijuana legalized. They don't want marijuana to be decriminalized. They don't want people smoking marijuana. And so they're using marijuana as a reason to not come to the city. And I left the show yesterday with my cell phone, went to Canal, went to Iberville, went to Bourbon Street and back to the station. And I know it was a Tuesday afternoon, but I didn't see anybody smoking pot. And if it's so prevalent that people are not coming here because the smell of marijuana is so dominant, then I would have seen it even on a Tuesday afternoon. And I just don't see it. You see it, you're going to smell marijuana occasionally, but I don't think that's a legitimate reason to leave the city. Anyway, I wrote a blog about that. It's posted on our website. It's also posted on Scoot on the Air, Facebook, where you can comment on it there. I don't know. It's not like there's a cloud of marijuana smoke over the city. And it's interesting how people, you know, pick up on a talking point. Wherever they get it, they pick up on a talking point. And there are people who do not go to New Orleans, and they're convinced that you shouldn't go to New Orleans because of the marijuana smoke, even though they've never experienced it. All right, I'm Scoot on the Air, and we're going to come right back with more. This is WWL 2026. I'm Scoot on the Air. Halfway to the weekend, good news. One cheeseburger takes 9 years off your life. According to a new study, researchers estimate that a single cheeseburger will take nine minutes off your life. So what, if you eat, seven cheeseburgers, that's taking a little over an hour off your life? You got to think about that if you like cheeseburgers. I mean, do you think about what you eat? It's the beginning of a new year, and a lot of people go on diets. I'm sure if you exercise at a particular health club or gym, you've noticed there are a lot of people there. But, you know, a lot of the people who are there now are not going to be there a month from now. You know, everybody's all hyped up and ready to go. And after splurging with food and everything during the holidays, you decide, I'm going to start the new year off. I'm going to start losing weight. And so I'm going to watch what I eat. I'm going to exercise. But it doesn't take long for people to fall off the wagon and go back to being the way they used to be. So what are some of the important things to think about when it comes to diet for 2026? So Meriden Zerner is an award-winning dietitian from the Cooper Clinic. And she was talking to a couple of people who work with an Odyssey station. And they did an interview. And in this interview, this award-winning dietitian is talking about a few things to think about in the new year. Protein has been very big, and she thinks that protein is going to continue to be big in the new year. Now, I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, but it seems like there's protein in everything. Now, I love protein bars. I've got a couple of protein bars. I've got one in particular that I like. I mean, it's like eating a candy bar. And it's not bad. I mean, it's got 200 calories, but, you know, the sugar is really low. Not everything is good about it, but it's good enough, and it gives me a lot of protein. There's even protein in lattes at Starbucks. So they're putting protein in everything. She thinks that's going to continue into the new year. She even talks about a protein croissant, a croissant that has protein in it. I mean, imagine going to get beignets, you know, and they've got protein in beignets. I mean, who knows? Maybe that'll happen. And protein helps build muscles and prevent muscle loss. So as you get older, it's important to have a lot of protein. She's also predicting another trend that in 2026, there will be a lot of fiber maxing. She says that fiber is going to be the new protein in 2026. And there will be more fiber supplements on the market. But you can just eat fruit and vegetables and get a lot of fiber naturally. Cabbage apparently is the new cauliflower. You know, cauliflower was used to replace spaghetti, used to replace pasta, used to replace rice. It was cauliflower. You put red beans over cauliflower instead of red beans and rice. And, you know, the cauliflower that they use for those things is really good. It tastes enough like what you think you're supposed to be eating, and the texture is close enough to where, you know, you feel like you're eating it. So now apparently cabbage is going to be the new cauliflower in 2026, and it's going to be something that replaces the starchy carbs like rice. GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, which help you reduce weight right away by decreasing appetite, are also going to be popular. But she says consumers can expect to see a lot of different packaging when it comes to these things. And basically, one of the trends is going to be to try to convince people to eat smaller portions. Now, one thing that I do, and I've done this for years now, is I don't eat on a full-size plate. I eat on a saucer. And I feel like when I eat on a saucer, I feel like I'm eating a full plate of food, but it's not as much food. You know, you put a smaller portion of food on a regular plate, and there's a lot of empty space there. You know, you feel like you're not eating much. If you want to really eat a smaller portion, fill up a saucer with food and eat it off a saucer. It's something that I've done for a while. Try not to overeat. It's also good to eat a little something like throughout the day. You know, in between meals, eat snacks instead of, you know, gorging. Instead of being a glutton when it comes to mealtime, you eat a little bit now and then. I'm sure you've noticed that cocktails are seeing a big change. Alcohol consumption, first of all, is down big time with millennials and Gen Z. And some of the alternatives are mocktails. People are making mocktails. And look, there can be a lot of sugar in mocktails. So, you know, you have to be careful with that. But, you know, alcohol, you know, I can see people who gain weight, and a lot of the weight gain comes from alcohol. And you see it in their face. You know, you can kind of tell when somebody's drinking a lot. Not only are they big with their body, but their face is really bloated. So you can see this, and if you have cut back on alcohol, just find something else to drink. And if you really want to lose weight, cut back on your alcohol consumption. If you can't do that, well, then maybe you've got another problem that you should address in the new year. But those are just a few things to think about when it comes to dieting or cutting back. And, you know, I don't know, is there anything that you've given up? Can you think of something that you no longer eat or drink because you're watching your weight? I mean, you might give somebody else an idea of something that they could give up that would help them lose weight. You know, you don't have to stop eating. You don't have to totally fast. You don't have to give up everything, but just eat smaller portions, and then also just, you know, watch what you eat. Is there something you've given up? When we come back, I'm going to tell you something that I gave up that caused me to gain weight. I'm serious. I was gaining weight eating something that I loved, and I thought it was fine for me to eat it. But as it turns out, it was causing me to gain weight. I've stopped eating it, and I've lost some weight. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. All right, welcome back to the show. I'm Scoot, and let's go to Metairie. Bob, welcome to WWL.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good, Bob.
Okay. Your talking points about the food, you must have listened to Maha press conference about proteins. And
no, I didn't. Where was that? Where was that press
today?
Conference? No, I missed that.
They talk all about eating healthy, taking dyes and additives out of foods and ultra-processed foods, staying away from them, eating protein and lean meat.
Yeah, I'm pretty guilty of eating processed foods, and I need to try to get away from that.
Well, we grew up with processed foods.
Yeah, we did.
Everything we ate, we saw on television.
Yeah.
Cereals, bread. And I'm going to tell you another thing. The bread and other things used to mold if you left them on the counter for a few days.
Yeah.
You can leave them on the counter a month and no mold.
You know, I've gotten some loaves of bread that, for whatever reason, they didn't mold. And I mean, some do, but I tell you, you're right about that. Some breads don't mold as fast as they used to.
Oh, no. You can leave the stuff on the counter with the wrapper open.
With
the air getting no mold.
That's not good.
Bread, no, it's not good. And even whole grain bread, nothing molds.
Mm.
I put chili in the refrigerator. That after 5 or 7 days, it would mold. No, not anymore. Ready to go.
Yeah, I got to start paying attention to the processed foods that I eat. Bob, I appreciate you bringing that up. Let me tell you something that I was doing every day. I would have it in the morning for breakfast, and I would have it at night as a dessert after dinner. No fat Dannon yogurt. No fat Dannon Greek yogurt. You look at the label, the ingredients, and there's like just a tiny bit of sugar. There's no fat. The calories are low. What I would do is I would take a little strawberry jelly and mix that in with peanuts. And, you know, peanuts have protein, but I know they have fat grams in peanuts. And I was eating a small bowl of this every day and every afternoon. I mean, every day and every night. And I noticed I was gaining weight. And, I mean, I got to the point where it's like, I mean, I'm disgusting. What am I doing wrong? I looked at the label, and it wasn't that bad. But I stopped eating. I decided I'm going to stop this and see if it changes. And I've lost a little weight because of that. I mean, I don't need to lose too much, but I've lost weight because I stopped eating that yogurt that I thought was so good for me. Again, that's going to be, you know, processed foods. I got to pay more attention to that. I mean, I could eat better. And there was a text that asked me, do I exercise? Yeah, I haven't been recently. You know, with the holidays, I've just gotten really busy and I kind of got lazy. And sometimes I leave the station at 7 o'clock. And by the time I get home and eat something, it's just, you know, I've gotten lazy and it gets late. And I don't exercise. But I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to try to do it again today. But, you know, yes, I try to exercise because that's really important, even though I haven't been doing it recently. Let's go to E and see if we can sneak in a couple of quick texts.
Here's a text that says, I gave up my fancy coffee drinks.
Yeah, those are very, very fattening, but they're delicious.
Here's a text that says, my daughter challenged me 2 years ago to give up soft drinks and cream and sugar in my coffee. I haven't had it since. I lost 15 pounds and kept it off.
Yeah.
I would only have one Dr. Pepper per day.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of sugar in those drinks. And I mean, there's sugar in stuff. You have to pay attention to the sodium count. I mean, remember the days when you just worried about calories? And then you started worrying about calories and fat grams. And then you started worrying about calories and fat grams and sugar. And then you started worrying about calories and fat grams and sugar and sodium. And it seems like nothing is good when it comes to everything. So you kind of have to pick and choose, but just try to be aware of what you eat. All right. We're going to come back to wrap up the show. Nice Wednesday afternoon. Hey, look, this would be a great afternoon to get out and enjoy. Take a walk or take a jog. You know, you can cut back on your eating, but it's also really good to exercise. And the other thing is that exercising exercises your heart. And that's a really important thing to exercise. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Yeah, we are halfway to the weekend. Wednesday afternoon already. Big football game on tomorrow night. The college football playoffs tomorrow night, Friday night, and then the wild card playoff weekend is this weekend of the NFL. So we'll talk about all of that tomorrow afternoon. Sports talk with Bobby, Mike, and Steve coming up next. And it's a QB to QB with Bobby Hebert, Drew Brees at 4:40 this afternoon. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, News Anchor Chris Miller, Traffic with Core DP. As always, I thank you for being part of this show by tuning in. Thanks for being with us. I'm Scoot on the air. Love you, New Orleans.